Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are geeking out. Welcome, welcome. This is our monthly podcast where we explore better living through the joy of hobbies. We are going to talk about games, books, cooking, music, movies, family, sports, whatever we feel like we're super, super excited about. It's probably not going to be sports most of the time, given the audience.
Probably not.
That's okay.
I'm aware of sports.
Whatever we're super excited about, we are going to talk about it. I am Mandy.
I am Rich.
And I'm Cyrus.
And we are ready to geek out.
That music, though.
So much energy.
Oh, it's like caffeine for my ears. Now my ears are going to be all jittery. Did you know that I can wiggle my ears?
Can you?
I can. Check it out.
Can I see?
Through the magic of radio and podcasting. Left, right.
Oh, yeah, you
left,
can.
Left, right. For the listeners at home, I am doing the thing that I'm doing.
I can vouch for
him. That?
I can do that, too.
Let me see.
I think it's a bald man thing.
Must be.
Must be a bald man.
I can also do this thing.
The taco tongue?
The tongue.
That one? Yeah. Can you do clam tongue, though?
What's clam tongue?
I can't do it, but my daughters both can.
I don't even
know.
Well,
now you have to describe what clam tongue is.
You do something with your tongue and make it look like a clamshell.
Oh.
It's
that little ripple thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a genetic thing, and most people cannot do it.
I cannot do that.
Magically, both Maggie and Emma can do it.
That's crazy. It really stinks that we can't get magical powers or be mutated, and yet the thing that we pass on to our children is, hey, look what you can do with
this
your
weird thing with your tongue.
I'm sure that will help you in your career at Harvard and then beyond helping the world. Welcome, everyone, to Geeking Out. So happy that you're here. We have a wonderful show lined up for you. We will be talking today with our geek topic, cozy hobbies.
So these are things that can be done indoors, around a fireplace with your jam jams on. Because it is January, it is cold, the holidays are over, and all I want to do is sit around the fire with my PJs on and do something that makes me happy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the way to go. Especially when we have, what, three cats now? Last
we
time
do.
I counted?
Yes.
Holy cow. So you sit down, one if not all three cats will jump on you. Forget about it. They're gonna be gone.
Are you like a cat transient house or something?
This is a funny story, Rich. Okay. We started with one. I got one, and then Cyrus got one with some pushing from me. And then we moved in together, and now we had two, and they got along really, really well. And then about a little over a year ago, I started pushing to get a third because I thought we needed a third. And then we went to go look at, quote unquote, look at a cat. You know how that goes.
Yeah, yes.
And came home with King Tut. And so now we have three, and they are, Cyrus was very fussy about it to begin with, but now you are all in for Mr. Tutterson.
I like Tut. There's something wrong with that cat. I'm fairly certain he's got depth perception issues or I don't know what's going on. I've seen him one too many times walk around the corner and smack his head. It's sad. I feel like we need to put up some safety bumpers. Mm. Anywho, that's not what we're here to talk about, our kids.
No. I mean, that'll be a different show.
Although I'm sure that cats are people's hobbies.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, that will be another show. We will talk about cats.
Talk about Jack real fast.
Oh, well, Jack.
I've seen Jack around.
My grand dog Jack is here.
Yeah.
Who is, he's a mutt through and through. He's like four different things, but he's mostly a foxhound.
Ooh.
And so he doesn't bark. He howls. You might actually hear it. He when he gets super excited or something, it's like full-on bay at the moon howl.
It's a 0 to 11. No sound to...
And he's an excitable boy. When you show him his leash, he actually starts to hop up and down. And not like a little bit, like 3 feet
in
the air.
He's one of these dogs that can jump up and get something off the top shelf kind of thing.
And some would say, to my daughter and son-in-law, why don't you train him to be better behaved? Why would you take the personality out of this dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like a real troublemaker, too. A lot of energy.
He's so sweet. He's such a great dog. He's awesome. That's Jack.
Well, it's fun just walking in, and there's Jack.
And he's sort of the, we have the station dog, Ginger, And then Jack is sort of, he fills in when Ginger's not around.
Ah, very good.
What's nice that Ginger's got PTO.
Yes, exactly. You know, well, I really need to put Ginger full on the payroll, though, so, yeah.
That's perfect.
So in addition to talking about our cozy hobbies, we'll, of course, be going through our geeking out, things that we're really, really super excited about. We have a really interesting topic from the mailbag, which, so everyone knows, I'm the only person who knows what it says. So we get to listen to our panel of experts as they look at me questioning, like, why did you pick this, Sires? Then, of course,
we're bringing in a panel of experts.
We are the experts, Rich. We
are the experts. Right. And of course, we have Tom Winsleydale, man about town.
I know. We weren't able to get him on last month, so I'm super excited for him to come on. What is he talking to us about
today? He brought us. Just take a minute and smell. Ooh. You smell that? Yeah. Ooh. So that's he just came in here recently. So it's, check this out. So Tom, man, was ridiculous number of talents and hobbies, such a joy to speak to, has brought in what he believes to be the world's greatest cookie. In fact, he titled them Tom's Famous New Year's Crinkles, which he tells me is the type of cookie. He points like, this is a crinkle. Like, all right, Tom, I have no reason to believe you.
Is that like the Spritz cookies that my grandma used to make?
We have not seen them. So this is going to be a surprise for all three of us when comes in later. But they do smell amazing.
My grandma used to make like the Spritz cookies that were shaped like a Christmas tree. And they had the, and she'd take a little like a green maraschino cherry.
A whole cherry?
Well, no, but she'd slice it. She would take the time to slice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because she was grandma.
Grandmas.
Oh, grandmas. They exactly know how to feed you in all the wrong ways.
Right.
I love it. Well, excellent. Before we even jump into that, I just want everyone to just take a minute, look outside our window. How beautiful is that? Downtown, Northfield, Minnesota, wonderland full of winter. Finally, we got some snow around here. Did you know that our little town played host to a Hallmark film?
Yes.
Yes. Do you remember the name of that Hallmark
film? Yes. Do you want me to reveal it?
Yes, that's it. Good.
Love Always Santa.
Love Always Santa, a 2016 gem.
And are you guys in it?
No.
Okay.
This was before Cy moved here, I was right in the midst of little children and a divorce. So it was not a good time to be in a movie.
No.
Love was not coming for me, Santa or no.
Merry Christmas, maybe.
Yeah, it was more like Love Always, your lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah, really interesting little trivia on there, and all courtesy of IMDb. All the shots that they filmed in Northfield, they kept all the names of all the places that were in the backstock. Except one. And that place was the Hideaway Coffee Shop.
Right.
Fantastic. If you've never been, definitely go. But they named it, and I love this name, and I'm so sad that there's not actually a place named this way in our field. The Buns Also Rise.
Yeah, that's a great name for a coffee shop.
The Bun Also Rises.
The Bun Also Rises. Thank you.
I remember walking past the Hideaway on the other side of the street and seeing that sign going, what?
Why'd they change it?
What is that?
Like, what kind of place is this now? Yeah. All right. So fun little facts about our town.
Our awesome town.
Can I just point one thing out real quick? I think we're talking about Christmas and because for us, Christmas is upcoming. The people who are listening are thinking, what, Christmas was like a month ago.
Yeah.
So
For those that don't know, the magic of podcasts / radio shows, we record a month in advance.
So this is not done live.
And so just deal. You're fine. Okay.
All right. Let's get into geeking out. This is a little topic that we talk about the one thing on our minds right now that we are very, very excited about. You know, understand that the difference between geeks and nerds is it's so subtle. Anything that really gets you excited, anything that brings a tremendous amount of joy to yourself, to something you want to share with others, something you wake up for, like, I look forward to doing this in the day. It doesn't have to be your job. It can be your job. If it is, lucky you. But anything and everything that is possibly exciting you in the moment, and that's what we're talking about now. Mandy, what are you geeking out about right now?
So right now, I am geeking out about the Leaf Straight Blade Safety Razors. I know, a weird thing to be geeking
out
about.
It's like a product shop.
I know, it's not. So I shave my legs and my underarms. That's a thing. And I have been using just like...
It's so funny because Rich does the same thing. He showed me the other day. It's fantastic.
I do it head to toe.
Yeah.
So are you a swimmer?
There's so smooth.
Except for my eyebrows, there is no hair on my body.
So I have always used just a Schick razor, just the regular, you know, you get the inserts and whatever.
I'm sorry, you said Schick, right?
Schick. Okay. Yes, yeah. I did. Schick.
I'm sure.
But I don't like throwing away the plastic. I don't like, it's just kind of one of those, well, this is what's here, so mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and use it. A couple of months ago, maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, I was over at Homebody, which is the store. Yeah. It's just across the street from yes. the studio here. And it's a refill market. So they have every, like, instead of getting a new shampoo, you go there and you get a refill of your shampoo.
Yes.
And it's a lot of products that don't have a lot of additives and that sort of thing. And so I was browsing around in there because I needed some shampoo, and Craig recommended that place as a good place to get shampoo.
Yes.
Craig does my hair. Craig is also Mrs. Moxie, so it's all tying together.
Craig is also married to my co-host on the morning show.
Yes. Exactly.
Craig and Ryan.
We live in a very small, tight,
small town,
world.
Small life, small world.
Yep, exactly. So I was over there getting shampoo, and I was drawn to this beautiful razor. So in addition to it being a really cool metal razor that I'm going to talk about the features for it, it's also rainbow colored.
Oh my Lord, you had a mind or like a Dreamweaver.
Yeah, it kind of was. So that's what drew me to it, because it was just this beautiful, like, iridescent rainbow color. And I'm like, that's a really pretty razor. What is this about? So what it is, it is a safety razor, but instead of having like a plastic piece, that's all, you just plug it into the head. You actually put straight razors mm-hmm. in it. And there's three of them, and there's a magnet thing. So you put your three little straight razors in, and there's a guard. And so it tightens mm-hmm. it all down. So when I saw that, I'm like, ooh, I want that, but it's expensive, because it's like a all metal, there's no plastic pieces to it, it's all metal, it's intended to be something that is used over and over and over and over and over again.
It's heavy, it's
one of those nice, it's got a good weight to it, which is actually really nice for shaving. So 15, I told myself
16 pounds.
I told myself when I used up all my razor inserts for my current razor,
mm-hmm. you could have
I
that.
Would get it.
Yeah.
And so I finally got it. I used up my razors, and so I finally got to get it. Oh my God. I have never had so close of a shave. It is amazing.
And is it like one of the like old fashioned styles?
So you can with all the foam and the brush and stuff. You certainly could do that. I just use my regular shaving cream, that I've used for years, but just because it's a straight blade,
mm-hmm.
but it's nice and it's very protected. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to cut myself or injure myself at all. The weight of it, you don't have to push down on it at all to get a close shave. It just, because it's so heavy,
16 pounds,
it just slides so nicely. I have never had so close of a shave.
Wow.
And just super excited about it. And then because it's the blades are like, you get 100 of them for $12.
Oh my gosh.
So even if there's three in there, and so it's a high cost up front, because the razor itself is like $80-$90.
Okay.
But the inserts, you get 100 of them for $12, and you use three at a time. But even if you're changing out your razor
mm-hmm.
every five shaves or something, you're still saving a lot of money over time.
You're so far ahead of the game.
You can recycle those. They're metal, so you can recycle them as scrap metal. So you're not putting plastic into the environment. You're not consuming plastic, which I love. So I'm super excited about it, geeking out about it. I want everybody to try them. I tried to get Cyrus to use it on his head, and he got scared and wouldn't do it.
Too heavy.
But
16 pounds is a lot to put on your head.
That's a lot of pressure.
But you're going to get such a close shave. It'll be so good. And it's, if you're careful and you pay attention to it, you won't cut yourself.
You're
going to keep trying to talk him into it.
And I can attest that your legs are like sculpted metal.
Yeah, that's right.
And marble.
They are. It's just, I can't be excited enough about it. So check it out.
I've often thought it's too bad that Michelangelo can't carve you.
Right.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah.
That is like, thank
you. So that's what I'm geeking out about right now.
That is
leaf safety.
Consequently,
razor.
You have to have a place to put all those razor blades. So I have invested heavily in Altoid tin cans. Yes.
Oh, hey, you know, we got those things.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly.
He got the little mini ones. And so it was funny when I got the razor, I was like, Sai, you need to finish an Altoid tin. I need an Altoid tin.
I was going
to
ask, you can't just throw razor blades in the mm-mm. in the
right
garbage.
So you put them in, so you can either leaf cells particular like little cans for them, and they have mm-hmm. like a little slot on the top, and then you can actually send them back to Leaf, the company.
Okay.
And they will recycle them for you. Or you can just put them in any metal container, like an Altoids tin. Mm-hmm. Just wrap it up when you're finished and stick it in the recycle. And they will they'll recycle it like a metal, like they would a tin can or something.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's it. What are you geeking out about, Rich?
Just forewarned.
Is it also a razor?
No, no. Most months when you ask me this question, it's going to be probably either a movie or a TV show.
But that's great.
That's fine. Yeah, all right.
I live kind of a dull life, and I just shave with a whatever.
Yeah, dude, I've been hearing about this razor for two months. You're fine. Keep going.
Lioness is the name of a TV show that Annie and I, my wife Annie and I, just finished watching, starring Zoe Saldana.
Oh, she's excellent.
She's awesome. She's Gamora.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And Nicole Kidman and Morgan Freeman.
Oh, that man's voice.
Yeah. And Morgan Freeman's more of a supporting role. But it's not the kind of TV show that my wife would normally watch, because it's Zoe Saldana runs a special CIA black ops team, and there's two seasons of it, and it's written by Taylor Sheridan, created by Taylor Sheridan, the guy who did Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, Yellowstone. Okay. Yeah,
my parents love that show.
All right, and as a writer, right? The dialogue isn't always the best. The dialogue is very like action movie oriented, which is there are a couple of times watching the show that I've looked at it and I said, you can't actually say that. Anyway.
Where's HR?
Right.
HR should be all over this.
No, but you don't have, even if you're a black op guy, right, or a black op lady, you don't talk like that.
Well, how do you know, Rich? Are you a black ops person?
I can't tell you that.
That's fair.
I walked into that. I totally walked into that.
Thank you. You set them up, I knock them down. But the stories, the plots, it's two seasons so far. The plots are phenomenal. They're fantastic. There's a great, true relationship between Zoe Saldana's character and her husband. And frankly, they kind of play on that a little bit with some of the other characters too. Like, how do you maintain a marriage when one of you is a CIA operative that has to leave on a moment's notice and is gone, 10 days. And oh, by the way, might not be coming back at any point in time.
Ever.
Right. But you've also got two daughters, right? Oof. It's great.
Do they have a good maternity leave for the CIA?
I was actually thinking about that.
That's a legit question.
I'm watching this going, when did she take the time to have kids?
Between the Russia operation and that other thing that we still can't talk about.
You imagine being 9 months pregnant and being on a black ops? Hold on a second. Oh my God, I think my water just broke. What?
No, that's not going to happen, right? You're not going to be able to wear a disguise when you're,
the mom and doctor in me has so many questions right now.
Exactly, me too. So that is one of the holes, and I'm not saying there aren't holes in this thing, right? But the stories that they weave through this are fantastic. Some of the characters they create, despite the dialogue, are really cool. A lot of strong women.
Like a Charlie's Angels kind of thing.
Dude, it's so far beyond Charlie's Angels, man. I mean, the women are in charge in this show, and they recruit other women who get super empowered, and it's fantastic. You don't even need to be a feminist to like the show. It's just because there's enough action and there's enough there's enough plot in there to keep you interested, whoever you are, but it's all the ancillary stuff that is that makes the show super cool.
And you didn't think your wife was going to like this?
Actually, it was her idea to watch it. Just didn't. She's not someone who's going to go watch. I love all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not like Rambo and all that, but the whole Black Ops thing and this is cool stuff to me, spy stuff and all that, right? Mm-hmm. She's not that person. but she liked it every bit as much as I did. She might have even liked it more.
Cool.
This opens up a brand new chapter in your relationship with your wife.
Kind of. Taylor Sheridan, man, this guy's on fire right now. He did Yellowstone. He's got Lioness, and he's got a new show called Landman with Billy Bob Thornton
about the
oil industry. I want to watch.
I like Billy Bob. Everything that man does, this comes across as creepy as all get out. Yeah. But
absolutely. I just seen red, and I like them French fried potatoes.
Mustard. Yeah. poor Billy Bob. That's like one character he did. What was that? Sling Blade.
Yeah.
That was Sling Blade. Yeah. Poor guy. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So definitely go ahead and check that one out, especially if you're into
Paramount.
Paramount.
Anyone listening understands how on earth this young lady, very successful in a dangerous job, also had time to maintain a marriage and two kids, and probably helping out with a few dioramas. That was a little side plot.
Yeah, when she's home,
when
she's not having a shootout on the border,
got to make time for family.
Yeah,
you got to do that. The thing that I'm geeking out about is Spotify's recent updates and continued advancement in AI, specifically Spotify DJ, and now the new Spotify created playlists based on how you want to describe it using natural language.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, Spotify is a online music service. You can listen to it for free, in which case they interject some few commercials, or you can purchase very little for it, and then you get all access to all this music. And I mean all the music. I'm still finding incredible songs from my childhood, new songs. Manny can attest to this. I'll find a new song that I love, and then that is the theme music for our house for the next 2 weeks. Everywhere.
Yes.
Ever, all the time.
On repeat.
So the Spotify DJ, to me, is an even better version of trying to create your own playlist. And without intention of making you upset, Rich, a really good radio. But it only plays your music. So it's like listening to, dialing in KYCY in the morning.
Yeah. KMDY.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And you hear all these fantastic songs. And the way that the artificial intelligence is working in the background, it's the little algorithm. Now, I'm geeking out about the technology of the whole thing. Is its ability to look at the songs that you've been listening to, match that up to other songs in the same genre, the same artists, the same sort of feeling, and start interjecting them in as well. And there's a text-to-speech little application that's running in the background. So the guy who's speaking to you doesn't actually exist. From what I read, I believe that they took voice samples in the same way where you open up Siri or you open up your Amazon Echo or Alexa, right? Those were real people. They took a whole bunch of voice samples, and then they're able to mix it all together, and now you get it. So he's talking to you. And this thing is so well done, it knows when it's your birthday. It knows when there are special events going on. So it was Cinco de Mayo, for example. It would say, all right, welcome to Cinco de Mayo. We certainly celebrate this the best way we can as well. Here's a whole bunch of really fun music to celebrate that. May the 4th. As in, may the 4th be with you. All they were playing was for an entire 15 minutes was just Star Wars songs.
That's awesome.
It was phenomenal. It was fantastic. So I've been really enjoying that. And then they just recently added the ability to create playlists based off natural language. I mean by natural language, like you're asking somebody, like, I would love to hear some songs that are about love, but during the holidays, and don't include anything but country music. Right. You can put all that in, and then they'll go, okay, sure, here's no problem. And then it'll add 10 songs right off the bat for you to look at. So, yeah, I want this, or let's change it up a bit. Let's add it. So it'll keep doing any sort of adjustments that you want until you're ready to go. Click go. It saves it, and now you have that right there, and then you can keep adding to it. And it's such an incredible thing, especially you're working out or just need some own personal time, or you just want to get back into the music that you really enjoy. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
Very good. Yeah. Sound excited.
I am such a huge fan of Spotify. I jumped on Spotify, I don't even know. It had to have been, it was at least 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have something. We'll get to, this is another hobby that we'll get to another time. I love to make playlists.
I go back
to the old school mixtape days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right. That the ones where you're like listening to the radio with your hand on the button to record, like go.
The ones where you sit down with a yellow pad and you figure out exactly how long each song is.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you can to get it to
exactly.
fit on
the side A, side B.
Exactly.
Yep, I remember
that. Love all this stuff. two complaints about the AI.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
First
go
of all,
ahead.
No, I love the DJ thing. I think the DJ's super cool. He's got a good voice. He calls me Rich. I love it, right?
Yeah.
Right? He cuts off songs before they're over, and like 40 seconds before they're done. And sometimes that's the best part of a song, right? Okay. Now, the other thing, the AI playlist thing.
Yeah.
I think I asked too much.
Oh, it's not there yet. I don't want to make anyone falsely believe that artificial intelligence anywhere.
Yeah.
Is truly good to go. Right. It's not there yet.
I saw the thing that said, okay, just tell us what you want to hear. And I was like, okay, make me a playlist for a rainy fall evening. No. Nope.
It was too much for it.
There's no music like that, evidently.
Here's Metallica.
Right, exactly.
You know, well, you could listen to it. Yeah.
Too much to ask for a little David Gray. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, David Gray, White Ladder.
Mm. Yep. Anyway. Yeah.
Very cool.
But I love, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I love it. It's so cool.
It is. It's a lot of fun. If nothing else, for exploring the music and finding everyone, because there's just such a ridiculously large library. I'm pretty sure I went to Spotify after I felt super bad about stealing a lot of music off Napster. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I actually paid for Spotify long before I really needed to, because I felt guilty about some of that stuff too. Yep. And now I've got like a family plan for like five people that's used by three. And so I've got two spots. If you're really nice to me out there somewhere, I got Spotify
there
for you.
You'd
be underneath Rich's plan. I love it.
Yeah.
I have a weird question for you guys.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have a radio station that plays in their head all the time? So you just get a song and it's like, I have no control over what my head is playing.
Yes. Also,
I think everyone has that.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I have a radio station.
Well, you have a legit, like, real radio station. But so growing up, when I was a kid, we would always joke. My mom hums all the time. Mm-hmm. Hum, hum, hum.
Yep.
It's drives my brother crazy. My dad is partially deaf and doesn't wear his hearing aids, I think, because he doesn't like listening to my mom humming all the time. I find it charming. I think it's delightful. But we would always joke, what's playing on KMOM, so K-Mom, right now.
I like it.
And then all of my sibs and I have our own radio station. So mine is KMDY, K-Mandy.
I like it.
And yesterday it was playing the Tetris theme song.
The Russian one?
Dun, 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 yep, dun, dun, that dun, one. Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep. So it's I just find that to be a funny thing, talking about DJs and radio stations in your head, and that made me think of that.
That stuff happens to me all the time.
All the time.
I'll wake up sometimes in the morning, and there's music going on in my head constantly, right? And I'll wake up sometimes in the morning with a song in my head that I haven't heard in 14 years.
Yeah, right?
And then I got to go to Spotify and try to track
it
down.
Like, who was that artist? Yeah. Who was that person?
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, let's move on to our cozy geek hobbies. Again, the topic this time around, because it is cold outside and the nights are long, and sometimes we do want to, you know, go out and do some things, but most of the time, especially up here in Minnesota, we appreciate the fact that we can get indoors, especially in the coldest of nights. So we're talking about cozy geek hobbies that we enjoy. Rich, let's start with you. What is the one that you'd like to share with everybody?
I was thinking about this, and you guys helped me try to figure some of this stuff out. I work a lot. I work a lot. I'm here at 5 o'clock. I'm at the office at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's rare if I'm leaving the office before 6, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it's just,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I go home and I just need to unwind, I'll turn on the TV and look for The Wild or look for The Wolves and just sort of curl up on my couch and don't always even like pay a lot of attention to the game. I sort of become one with the couch at some point.
just molding yourself.
I mean, but it's really all about just taking the everything from the day and just sort of letting all go. And, you know, if, you know, maybe Kirill Kaprizov has a really sweet assist or something too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So that's really what, that's a good one for me. And that happens in the wintertime, of course, because
it's that sweet spot of the year where you have both basketball and hockey to watch.
Exactly.
At the
exactly.
same time.
And neither of those sports, I mean, I'm a baseball guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither of those sports get me like super, super going, right? Like get me super passionate, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And so you can relaxed. It's not like if you're watching a sport that you are super excited, passionate about, that maybe would rev you up, which is not what you want after a long day of work.
Right, exactly.
So that's really nice that you found that.
Curl up with a blanket on the couch, eat soup without fear of spilling it. because you're not going to jump up and scream at the TV like, what are you doing?
Exactly. I'm going to spill the soup anyway.
Well,
but not because of the TV.
Not because of the TV.
Because every shirt I own has a stain right
there.
Right at the top of my belly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I like so much about what you're suggesting, which is a cozy hobby I think everyone should be doing. I think everyone does. I have really strong memories of whenever I felt sick. Like my mom would make sure that I got on the couch.
Yep.
Wrap me up with blankets. For some reason, she believed strongly that Coke had some sort of, health properties. So I'd always get a Coke.
It was always ginger ale for me. Yeah.
Ginger ale or Coke, whatever was happening to me. And I just sit there and I watch the TV, and it felt very safe. It felt very warm. I wonder if that doesn't probably influence us even further on when we become adults, where we associate being on the couch and being wrapped up, being quiet in front of the soft glow of the television or the radio. It's just something that just makes us feel very comfortable. And then you get to match it onto something that you're, really enjoy doing. Because from my memory, I don't think I got to choose what was on the television when I was put on the sofa. But, that's
Sesame Street. The Electric Company.
Oh, yes. Sesame Street is fantastic. I love that. Yeah.
I will say the fact that your mom would give you Coca-Cola when you weren't feeling well continues to this day. I can always tell when Sai is having a rough week because I will come home and I'll be like, oh, there's 6 Coke cans in the recycle bin today. It's been a rough day.
And yet, miraculously, I never get cavities. So I don't know what's happening there. It's phenomenal.
You're just good at brushing your teeth.
Yeah, good dental hygiene.
That's
good.
That's a great cozy hobby. Yeah. Mandy, what's your cozy hobby?
So I actually have 2 that I want to talk about because I couldn't pick. And it's my podcast, so I get to talk about what I want to talk about.
True.
So the first one that I just discovered, and there will be people out there that are listening that are going to roll their eyes and be like, how did you not know about this? Tie blankets. Do you guys know? Well, Sai, I know you know what these are. Do you know what these are, Rich?
Not tie-dye blanket.
So you get a big piece of fleece, which you can get at a fabric store.
Sure.
Which, incidentally, Northfield needs a fabric store. So if anyone out there is listening, please, that has an interest in this, we need a fabric store in town.
Would it be okay if it was in Dundas?
That would be fine. Okay. And like a big fabric store. I know we actually do have one in town, but it's all like very, it's like vintage patterns and vintage fabrics, which is not, I need like a Joann's.
You need a Joann fabric.
I need a Joann fabric in town. Anyway, so you get a couple big pieces of fleece. I like to do 2 different patterns. So one on the front and one on the back, but coordinating. So ones that'll go together. You cut it out so that it's a big rectangle, and then you cut little strips all the way around for everything, and then you take the 2 pieces and you tie them together. So you tie all the little strips together and just go all the way around. You tie. You end up with this very warm, very cozy 2-layered fleece blanket at the end.
Wow.
It takes me maybe 2 hours to do a whole blanket, so it's something that I can do fairly quickly. I have a cross stitch I've been working on forever, and I love it, but I've been working on it for 5 years and I'm never going to finish it. I love the fact that I can do a tie blanket and get it done in 2 hours. I get to be creative because I get to go to the fabric store and pick out, like, I just made a couple for Sai actually, and they have like a cardinal on one side and plaid on the other side, both of which he really likes. And so getting to go and be creative with who am I picking this out for, what kind of stuff do they like, I make a personalized blanket for them. The cutting process is pretty simple, and then the tying is easy enough that both of my daughters can do it, so the girls tied size blankets for him,
which is very funny to watch them do that because they'll actually be underneath the blanket
while
they're tying it.
which makes it an even cozier hobby. So you're there finishing it up,
they're watching Bluey and
under the blanket
tying it at the same time.
So tie blankets have been around forever. People, like, I know a lot of high school groups and stuff will be like, oh, we're making blankets for the children's hospital, and these are the tie blankets because they're super easy to make versus like a quilt, which takes a lot more, you need to know how to sew, and it takes a lot more time and effort. But so I'm super excited about tie blankets. They are so warm and cozy, and easy to do and relaxing, and I can do it in front of the fireplace. And I also get to do it with my kids. Yeah. So I love the fact that That's the girls awesome. Can get involved, and the boys too if they wanted to, but they don't have any interest in tying blankets.
Not in crafts.
No. Not in crafts. So, so that was my first cozy hobby that I wanted to talk about. The other one that I wanted to talk about is puzzles. Mm. This is a great time of the year to do puzzles because the holidays are over. So like I know for us, all of our big table, because if you do a puzzle, you have to have a big table generally. And so the question is, do you leave the puzzle out or do you have, like I have a puzzle carrier. So it's this big thing that I can fold up and then the puzzle will stay on there and I can move it to different locations. But there's just not as much going on this time of the year, so it's a good time to do puzzles. It's a nice warm thing you can do. You can watch TV while you're doing it if you want to. I never do because I need to be focusing on the puzzle. The other thing I like about puzzles is that I can do it with my kids. Mm-hmm. I don't always want to do it with my kids, but you can. And both of the girls really enjoy puzzles, Maggie especially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just to put in a plug for one of for our sponsor, Content has an amazing selection of puzzles.
They really do.
They do.
So many cool things and all just whatever topic you're super excited about. Like Emma loves cats, and so we found a really cool cat puzzle to do. Maggie loves dragons. I'm still looking for a dragon puzzle for her, but also, and they have a bunch of sizes too. So like I have figured out I do not like 1,000-piece puzzles. Mm-hmm. It takes too long for me to finish it. I like about 500 because it's a challenge but not too challenging. I can get it done within a weekend. And then I'm done with it. I can put it away and move on to the
next
puzzle.
It's the tie blanket of puzzles.
It is the tie blanket of puzzles. I feel really bad. Cy got super excited and bought me a puzzle once. And he's like, look, it's great. It's a beholder from Dungeons & Dragons. It's super excited.
Awesome.
And we could do it together. But he doesn't like puzzles. So really that means you can do it for me. Or we can do it and I'll be in the same room as you.
Yeah, very positive intent.
Very positive intent. But it was a 1,000-piece puzzle. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. It's too big. And so after months and months of trying to work on it, I finally said, this is too big. I don't want to do this. And so we found a different one.
Yeah, the wooden one.
A wooden one. Ooh. That was 500 pieces, which is my favorite. And this puzzle is really awesome. It's also Dungeons and Dragons theme. So it has the big red dragon on the front.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's pieces that are shaped like different Dungeons and Dragons stuff. So there's a piece that's shaped like a beholder. There's a piece that's shaped like a wizard. There's a piece that's shaped like a D20. And then the back has its own pattern.
I feel we should just pause here a moment. For those who have no idea, because you've mentioned it several times, beholder is a big floating eye creature.
It has lots of eyes. If it looks at you, it's bad.
Look it up on the internet. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
A lot of things. But anyway, so puzzles are my other cozy hobby that you can do on a cold winter's day or winter's weekend where it's too yucky to be outside. Mm-hmm. And lots of creativity you can do with that. So
perfect.
That's what I'm excited about.
What I'm super excited about is single-player games. Now, I've mentioned multiple times that one of the reasons why I love playing board games, card games, and dice games so much is because of the social aspect that you get with the game itself. Everyone's at the table. Everyone's working all around the same idea. It gives you an opportunity to really speak to folks, have a wonderful time communicating and enjoying the same activity. It's wonderful. But you don't necessarily want to be around people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And solo games have become really a thing in the marketplace. I brought one here in particular. This is one from a group called Button Shy. And for those folks who can't see it, of course, it is small enough to fit in the back of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an entire game in itself that lasts anywhere between 5 to 15 minutes, depending on how you want to play the game itself. This one called Tootsie Moosey.
Tussie Mussie.
Tussie Mussie. Whereas actually the whole theme-wise is based on the Victorian, the Victorian practice of essentially saying that every flower means something.
Okay.
So as we still practice today. So roses still mean I love you,
and different color roses mean different things. Yellow roses is for friendship.
Right. So there was this whole thing here, and the idea behind it was you could send secret messages to the person receiving the flowers without actually saying anything.
Oh,
right.
So interesting.
All right.
Cool.
It was the note slipped under the desk of the Victorian Times. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe. Please check and send back.
Yeah. Right. So this is just one example of the games. And the reason why I like solitaire games, especially in the wintertime, is that everyone's in the house running around and doing their own thing, and you just want some quiet time to yourself. Yes, I can go watch TV. Yes, I can go play video games. There are all these things that I can do. But sitting down with a solo game really lets you calm down, much in the way of watching television or playing puzzles.
Yeah.
Get yourself a, you know, a really good beer. Yeah. For one, like Chapel Imminent.
Yeah.
Just have a good time with it.
And I think too, especially so, January. We've just come through the holidays. Holidays are full of people. And sometimes I think I get to January and I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anybody for the next 3 days. Like, all of you people go away. And so having a solo game where you could just sit down and be like, I'm just me right now. And I'm going to put on the music I want to listen to. And I'm just going to do this. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to be said for that. One of the solo games that you have played lately that I'm super excited about, is it A Walk in the Woods?
Yeah,
it's
Walk
a pencil
in the Woods.
First.
Pencil
Talk
first
about
game.
That one.
A Walk in the Woods is exactly what it sounds like. The thematically, what's happening is that you are an individual who's just decided, I'm going to go take a walk outside in the wintertime. And you're just walking around in the woods. That's the theme of it. What you're doing from a game-wise perspective is that you're trying to build out by taking tiles. You randomly pick up a tile, place the tile down so you're starting to match rabbit tracks and where bushes are at and where lakes are at. And then based on the overall display, when you're done with placing all the tiles, because the tiles also have rules about where you can place them, is then you score points. Okay. And like most solitaire games, the idea is that you're trying to beat a certain point scale.
Right.
The more points you get, of course, right. The better you do. But very relaxing. Very, very relaxing.
And it's a pencil first game. I don't think we've talked much about pencil first, so I'm going to just put a little... I adore pencil first games. So pencil first is a... Are they a game producer?
Yeah, they produce the games. They also design them.
Yeah. All of the pencil first games that we've played have very calming themes.
Oh, nice.
So walking through the woods, there's one where you're walking through a garden and making flower arrangements. Hmm. There's one where you're collecting, what's the one with the fruit and the vegetables?
Herbaceous.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're like collecting, planting flower pots and stuff like that. Okay. So I just love pencil first games. And yeah, this is another one of the theme where it's like very calm. And
yeah, this is like you're firefighting or taking on zombies or aliens. I'm making a flower arrangement.
That's nice.
That is nice.
That's
it's
lovely.
Very, very, very calming. Very
yes.
nice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, these are great hobbies. And we hope that whatever hobbies that you guys have are also as cozy. Feel free to share them with us. You know, contact KYMN and, you know, let us know what you're doing. We would certainly love to hear from you about what your cozy hobbies are, because one of the greatest things about hobbies is that you get to share them with others, and then you get to learn what other folks are doing, and then you get to adopt what they're having. You know, goodness gracious, there's just so many different ways that we can spend our time and enjoy it. But speaking of which, there's someone who needs our...
Before you get there, though, we have to take care of some business.
Yes. Oh.
So I'm going to go talk with Jessica Peterson-White, the purveyor of content books. I'll be right back.
Who sells puzzles.
And she does sell puzzles.
And many, many other things.
And I'm going to ask her about that, too.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Be right back. And now, through the magic of radio editing, we are now very pleased to be joined by our dear friend and sponsor, Jessica Peterson-White of Content Books. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning,
actually,
Rich.
It's morning where we are. It's evening where everyone is hearing this.
Good day.
Hello.
Good moment, Rich.
Exactly.
It's great to see you. I'm happy to be here whenever it is that I am here.
Well, we're always happy to have you here. So how's everything going at Content Books?
It's great.
It's good. How was the holidays? You guys have recovered?
Yeah, I think we're getting our bearings again. We had a really busy holiday season,
yeah.
Which was wonderful and fun. It's always a real joy to be a part of people's festivities and help people find just the right gift.
Right.
And then in January, you know, we do inventory. We clear the dust.
Exactly.
And it's been good.
Once you've cleared the dust, then it's probably time to clear the shelves as well.
It is indeed. Yes. And that's why we have our winter clearance coming up. on February 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that entail? Is it like just, you know, everything must go there? Jessica's got the crazy sale or what?
Well, I mean, a little bit. So okay. I just got back day before yesterday from Atlanta, where I was at the Atlanta Gift Mart and found all kinds of exciting new toys and gifts and games and puzzles and really stationary, all kinds of great new stuff that's going to start arriving in the store soon because I ordered it in Atlanta. And so we need to make space for all this cool new stuff that's coming. Right. And, you know, we've always got a few leftovers from November, December, and we will do some markdowns on those things, probably ranging from 30 to 70% at least. I might even go a little farther than that. We'll see how crazy Jessica gets. and those deals will be on everything from jigsaw puzzles to board games to toys and stationery and you know, whatever stuff we find in the nooks and crannies at content. And we want to clear the decks really and make room for what's new. So and that'll we do the in-store clearance starts February 1st, which is a Saturday, and it'll run for a few days after that. But what I really want people to know is we do a cool thing with it. We really have a clearance sale twice a year in around this time of year and then crazy days. And we do a cool thing for our nearest and dearest, most loyal customers and people who subscribe to our newsletter or who get SMS messages from us, where we give those folks who are subscribers, we give them early access to all the deals.
Ooh.
So a few days before the sale in store, we send out a secret link that only people who are subscribers to our newsletter or SMS messages get, where they can shop those deals online before anybody else, before the markdowns even happen in the store. So that is by far the best way to get the best selection. And you can sign up for emails or SMS messages at our website at contentbookstore.com. And then you get first dibs.
And anyone can sign up at contentbookstore.com.
Anyone can sign up.
Contentbookstore.com?
Contentbookstore.com.
All right. So that's okay. That's the winter clearance.
And then that's going to be fun.
Okay. Crazy contents, crazy sale.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We were talking off mic. You're telling me that you have a story time thing going on.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do. Bookseller Rachel, who is a former elementary school teacher. Aww. And an amazing human being, and also a very musical person, does a story time for us virtually every Friday morning, unless she's on vacation, at 11 o'clock in the store. And that's free and open to the public. It's on Friday mornings. It's great for kids from probably babies on up to age 8, I'd say, 8 or 9. I mean, older kids can hang too. They're welcome to, but it's probably going to be most interesting to like elementary age kids.
Yeah, okay.
And she usually reads a couple books. She does a couple songs. She plays the ukulele. It's super fun. She gets the kids up and moving a little bit. And it's short and sweet. We usually keep it under 30 minutes. So it's not like a big commitment in your day, but it's like a great little thing to stop by on a Friday morning if you're bopping around downtown with the kids. Or if you need, as we all so often do, need an excuse to leave the house in January or February.
Yes. Even if it is 11 degrees below zero. You can
come downtown and come to story time and then bop across the street for a hot cocoa or a cupcake or something.
Awesome.
And then you've made a day of it. It's
great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And you got the kids out of the house too. That's
exactly.
Huge.
Totally.
Okay. All right. You were saying you don't have as many author events in these winter months as you do later in the year, but you do have an interesting one coming up on January
30th. We do have some great author events coming up in January and February. The schedule's usually a little lighter than it is at other times of year, just because we don't want to fight with the weather too much. But I'm really excited about the author we have coming on Thursday, January 30th. H.M. Bauman will be in the store for an event at 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public, as are almost all our author events. You can just show up. We're delighted to see you. And H.M. Bauman she's written a new middle grade novel called Scattergood. That's probably for ages, like a little more mature middle grade book, probably for ages like 10 and up. But so often these middle grade events are just awesome for adults to hear from the author, too, because you get to hear about the author's process. And in this case, it's historical fiction set in rural Iowa in 1941. And I think it's a story that'll be pretty compelling to a lot of readers of a lot of ages. It's about 12-year-old Peggy, who lives in a little town in rural Iowa where there happens to be a Quaker hostel, that opens up in 1941 and begins to house Jewish refugees from Europe, including a handsome boy who she becomes interested in named Gunther. You know, there's family drama. There's, you know, a lot of really interesting historical detail in the book. And I think it's a really compelling kind of upper Midwest historical fiction book. So I hope a lot of folks will come join us and hear from H.M. Bauman.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to highlight?
Well, I just encourage folks to go to our website and check out all the other events we have coming up. Besides Storytime and H.M. Bauman, we have quite a few other author events. A couple this month and a few more in February, and then getting into March and April, we get more and more on the calendar. April is already looking really fabulous. It's National Poetry Month, and so we have some great stuff coming up for National Poetry Month.
Awesome.
And yeah, just make sure you, if getting early access to deals sounds like your kind of thing, then head over to contentbookstore.com or just stop in the shop if that seems too hard, and we'll sign you up.
What is the address?
It is 314 Division Street South, in downtown Northfield.
Yeah. What are the hours?
We're open 7 days a week, Rich.
Are you really?
We really are.
My goodness.
Yeah. We're very committed to that. Clearly. We really want to make it easy for our customers to find us when it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
And so we're open 7 days a week. Monday through Saturday, we're open 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And then we're open a little later on Thursdays until 8. Okay. Author events, obviously, we're usually open later than 8. And then Sundays we're open from 11 to 5.
Fantastic.
And you can shop anytime on our website. And you can do that for in-store pickup or we ship.
Contentbookstore.com.
Yep.
Jessica Peterson-White, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rich. It's always a joy.
Always great. And we're back. Thank you, Jessica, for being a great sponsor of Geeking Out.
They take so much of my money.
They do. Every time, a good way.
Every time I walk in, I'm like, well, okay, here's my wallet. I'll just place it right here, and I'll see you in about a half hour.
Yep.
All right, so it's time for the mailbag.
Mailbag.
So we need a little jingle for this, a little mailbag jingle.
I'll take a note.
I'll
take a note.
Hey, you there. What's going on? Here's a mailbag. We'll work on it.
Letters. We get letters. We get stacks and stacks of
We're gonna workshop it over the weekend and come back fresh on Monday. All right. So here it is. So again, both Manny and Rich have not seen this beforehand, so this you'll be hearing it the very first time you are as well. This is Dear Father Geek and Gang, Deborah here from Ohio. Question for you and your groups regarding how I can teach my kids to put our games and toys and clothes and everything else away after they play with them. I want my kids to enjoy our family games, but I keep finding game pieces around the house, along with just about everything else that should not be there. Help! You have lots of kids and lots of games. Hope you have a lot of advice, too. Sincerely, Deborah. Oh, this is so close to my heart.
Can I just say,
absolutely,
if you've got a game where you're missing a piece, even if it's like Monopoly and you're missing a house or a hotel, right? Have Jack come over. My granddog, because he'll find it. He won't tell you that he found it right away. He'll chew on it for a while.
Chew on it for a little bit.
You have to look at him and say, what is in your mouth? Oh, I was looking for that.
Yeah. We have the same thing with the cats. If they're chasing after something, it might be a game piece.
Before we go, let me just mention one more time. This is horrible podcasting, but your office smells incredible.
Doesn't it?
I cannot wait to get Tom's cookies.
I know. It's... Yeah.
All right, so mailbag. Okay, after mailbag.
Gotta stay on track.
We'll get it going. Okay. All right, so, Deborah, I feel your pain. Yeah. I totally get it. Boy, without starting to sound authoritative on this deal, my biggest thing about putting things away is having the kids or the family members or anyone else understand, appreciate, and respect the thing that they're working on, right, or with. You lose a game piece, that finds it happens. Look, I'm in my late 40s. I will occasionally find something on the floor that shouldn't be on the floor, that type of deal. So these things happen. But not putting your things away, something that I think every child does. I've seen it, and I am actually a little upset that I am not that kind of mindset anymore. I have a hard time transitioning from one to another until I park something.
Yeah.
They're just living their life, right? It's like, oh, now this is interesting. Oh, now this is interesting. One thing that I found that works out very well is just reminding my kids, before you start, stop. Mm-hmm. And that seems to resonate because everyone kind of gets that. Like, well, that's obvious in a Big Duh statement, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's important to bring that on. It also really helps to help the kids understand that everything has a place and a place for everything. In fact, we just did this with our youngest daughter. She was looking at her room. It was a complete total disaster, as most kids' rooms get mm-hmm. after a while. And she was just looking at the hole and being terribly stressed out about it, terribly mm-hmm. stressed out about it. So instead, Mandy and I said, well, instead of cleaning up the hole, why don't you just put everything that's not where it should be in this box? Now, that became a fun game, and that was easy. This goes in right. the box. This goes right. in the box. This goes in the box. Everything went in the box that shouldn't be there. Her room was miraculously clean.
With the exception of this big box.
With the exception of the big box.
Oh, sure.
But then she was able to go through the box a little bit at a time and put things mm-hmm. back where they belong, put them in their, right. their home.
No stress. No mess.
Yeah.
Same idea there.
Yeah.
So when it comes to board games, what I like to do, toys and all those things, that's kind of different. But I'll just focus on the board games. Whenever you take out a piece, always place the rest of the box right next to it. So every game more or less comes with two boxes, right? You got the top and you got the bottom. Take off the top, place it down right there. If you take the piece, you don't need it, place it back in the box on the lid. Don't try to put it back where you're taking everything from, because then it's just part of the mess. Mm-hmm. And again, you're just playing the simple little box game that we mm-hmm. just did with our daughter. Mm-hmm. Really, really simple. If you don't know where it goes, at least you have a place to put it, yep. and you know it's always going to be there. Exactly. And we play these stupid little human tricks with ourselves, too. Keys, for example. If you're placing them in the same place every time, you don't have to worry about where they're at.
Yep.
I got one of those... things that will, your phone can track your keys.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, yep.
That's I needed that.
Hey, yeah. the little tags, air tags, what they are.
So what some of the stuff that I would suggest. So it's really interesting within our group that's sitting in here, because Rich has adult children, mm-hmm. correct? Cy and I have a blended family. His boys are teenagers and college age, and my girls are 6th and 3rd grade. So we have all kind of different levels, yeah. which is fun. But we've all been through, I'm the last one. So we've all kind of been through the stages at various times. So anyway, some of the things that I have found helpful with our kids, just continuing to reinforce. So we don't move on to another project until we're finished and put away the previous project. Mm-hmm. And they're going to forget mm-hmm. and they're not going to do it. And you just need to be like, okay, you can't do that until you put away your other project. We need to stop coloring and you need to go put your game away that you were playing before. Oh, I don't want to. Well, too bad. You have to. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you just have to be really consistent about reinforcing it. And then it will eventually get easier and easier and they will do it. So it's a reinforcement thing for them. Having a box for stuff, like for room cleaning, mm-hmm, toy mm-hmm, put away, mm-hmm. like having a place that's very centralized. So if they have a whole bunch of stuffies, and we ran into this with Emma, our youngest, she has a whole bunch of stuffies, mm-hmm. and they were just kind of in an overflowing bin, and it was never really working. So we're like, okay, this isn't working. Let's find a different box. And so we have two really big storage bins, and like, those are your stuffies boxes. If I find a stuffy around the house, I'm going to give it to you, and you need to go put it in its home.
Yep.
Its home is in the box. And so having a home for everything also is helpful. Yes.
And that resonates. Even with the youngest of children or the oldest of adults, if you say home, everyone understands that.
Yep.
To a degree, like, oh, home, where it belongs, yeah. where it should yeah. be. Right?
Exactly.
The other thing that we've instituted with kind of talking about games and game pieces and what, you know, the stuff getting lost, we have a couple of things in our game room. They're coffee cups, actually. That's where we have a coffee cup for puzzle pieces, and we have a coffee cup for game pieces.
That's good.
And so if you ever find a puzzle piece randomly, it goes yep. in the puzzle piece coffee cup. And then if you're doing a puzzle later and you're like, oh, I'm missing a puzzle piece, you go look in the coffee cup, and it's maybe there. Same with game pieces. And that's really been helpful.
Yep.
Because it's a really nice way to not lose stuff, but not have to put the time and energy into, okay, what puzzle did this come from? I wasn't the one putting the puzzle together.
No.
I have to guess. So just put it in the coffee cup.
And it plays so well into my whole big idea about adopting stupid human tricks into mm-hmm. your life. Because if you take a puzzle piece or a toy or a piece of clothing and you don't know where it goes, you're not going to try to figure it out. right? You're just gonna like, well, I'm not gonna deal with this now, and you'll place it where you found it, or worse yet, you move it somewhere else in the house, right? And now it becomes this temporary spot where it's at, and it, you just kind of keep shuffling around until you get there. But if you come up with this idea, like with the box, with a coffee cup, or just a little tray, someplace to collect it, where I don't know where you go, you certainly don't belong here. I'm going to place you here with the understanding that I'm going to come back to you and figure out where you do belong when I have the time. You're going to be able to move that way.
Yeah. And one of the things, the other things that we've instituted at our house is everybody has an inbox. Mm-hmm. So everyone has a physical box on their desk. So if I find something that I know belongs to Maggie, I will go put it in her inbox. She can then figure out where it goes and where to put it away. If there's something that I know is size, I go put it in his inbox. And that has also really
helped. That's
fantastic. Yeah. So everybody just has an inbox, and that's where still like the when the girls grab the mail on their way home from school, they separate out whose letters are whose and put it in the inboxes.
You get much more interesting
mail
than I do.
Where was this idea 20 years ago?
Well, this is actually an idea that this is not original by any means. There's an author named David Allen who created a personal productivity workflow called Getting Things Done, where he mentions this, where he's like, have an inbox in your life. That way everything goes in one spot. Then you don't have to worry about what do I do with it now. You just place it there with the understanding that I'm going to empty everything out of the inbox and figure out what needs to happen to it at that time.
That's of note, cool. Don't get Cyrus talking about productivity unless you want to be talking for the next 3 hours. Yes. He gets super excited about super it. Excited. That'll be a whole show.
It'll be an exciting one.
I look forward to having that conversation.
Rick, what wisdom can you share with Deborah?
Because I can't. And I'll tell you why. Not only... my daughter's never had a problem. I swear to God, my daughter's never had a problem putting things away.
You are truly blessed.
I am. I have a problem putting things away. I have pretty good ADHD, and I'm like, you know, I like you're talking about bouncing from one thing to another. That can be me, man. Mm-hmm. And like, I walk into my office at home and, oh God, there's that T-shirt I was looking for. You know, the table I've got is just covered in books and recording stuff, and you know, a couple of Christmas presents from last year, and like, you know, it's just I'm terrible about that. I have no wisdom. I need an inbox and I need a home box.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Or you just need me. I do this to the girls occasionally. You need me to come over and be like, okay, we're cleaning your room, and if you can either go through and clean it and I'll help you, or I will go through and clean it, and then anything that I don't think is necessary, I'm going to throw away.
Yeah,
gets them very motivated to clean the room.
But that's also stressful. That's why I want to adopt this whole box thing now for everybody. It's like, oh, go ahead, put it in the box. Yeah. You know, nothing gets thrown away.
Yep.
But yes, it does help sometimes too.
Sometimes there's some fear tactics, scare tactics involved.
Follow us for more great parenting advice. 5 stars would recommend.
Yeah. Scare your children.
I definitely think, for me personally, my personality wise, I get stressed out when things are not where they're supposed to be. So now that goes from it being ADHD to like OCD. I believe that, right? I get that point. And then you have other folks who leave things elsewhere. I would say whatever helps you get, you'll move on, right?
Absolutely.
That's something you don't need to be stressing
about.
Absolutely. So when it comes to, you know, games, yes, absolutely. Make sure you keep track of all those pieces. Otherwise, it gets complicated. When you want to try to find a card or a game piece and it's not there. Mm-hmm. Puzzles. Goodness, you know, you could tell me over and over again how many different times we've accidentally lost a puzzle piece.
And
then the puzzle becomes absolutely something they can't use anymore.
Well, yes and no. I would argue that if you're making a puzzle with the intention of framing it, then yes, you need all the pieces. If you're making a puzzle just to make a puzzle and you're missing a piece, oh well. I mean, not ideal, but...
I wouldn't even know how to do that. If I knew that I was starting to work on a puzzle and I knew it had a missing piece, I wouldn't even start with it.
Yep.
But
I do puzzles and you don't. So
that's true.
That's a very good point.
All right. So, Rich, you just stepped out here for a minute. Tom is all ready to go. Mandy, I know that you've been stepping out too, bits and pieces, trying to get things ready to go with Tom itself. So there you go, Deborah. We hope that helped you. Goodness, let us know if you figure it out too. I mean, one of the fun things about being a parent is that you are figuring out as you go.
Yeah.
Dr. Spock didn't know what he was talking about, but man, he sure did write a good book. All right. So super exciting. Tom Wensleydale finally going to try his very famous, what did he say? He said Tom's famous New York crinkles.
New Year's crinkles.
Okay.
Carson has been sort of, our sales guy Carson is like hanging out outside of the studio. Can you just give me a second?
Yeah, of course.
If you can, Carson, come on in. Come on in. What's going on?
Rich, Jack just ate all the cookies.
What?
What?
Jack ate all the cookies.
Jack?
Yeah, Jack ate all the cookies.
Oh,
you guys.
This is. Wait.
I didn't even get to see them.
They've been smelling great the whole time we've been recording.
This is. Okay. So, is Tom angry?
Yes.
Oh, and unfortunately, you know, we're out of time anyway. So I know you'll smooth this over with him. You are so good with him. And let's just have him on next month.
Okay. You know, that's all right. We grow through adversity. I'll try to pass things over with Tom. Okay. All right. So sorry, Tom.
Sorry, listeners.
Sorry, I know listeners.
Everyone's super excited to meet Tom, and that's now twice in a row. But we'll get him on next month. Absolutely.
All right.
I feel very responsible for this. It's my
hope Jack doesn't get sick.
I'll talk with Tom with you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll try to make this.
But the nice thing is Jack is super cute, so that should
adorable.
Help smooth things
he's
over.
He's fantastic. Yes.
Smooth things
my
over.
My daughter's going to be really ticked off at me, though, if he ate all those cookies.
It's your grand dog. You're supposed to spoil. So it's fine. Okay. It'll be fine.
Okay. Emotions. Okay. All right. Moving on that last thing then, it's unfortunate. I was looking forward to talking about that, but you know, we adjust, we remain agile. What is our side quest for you folks now? So your next side quest, and again, what these side quests are, it gives you a little fun to do, a little side project to go off and do something different, something much like in the world of adventure games, and side quests are all those little things that you have to decide, not really part of your main thing that you're doing every day, but just something off that you're enjoying. So this time around, we would like to ask you to find a new cozy hobby and a group that you can share it with or learn from. So that could be a puzzle group, a knitting group. Mandy, you just joined a group over at Imminent for reading, right?
Yeah. So Imminent's doing on the third Thursday of every month in the winter here. I think they're trialing it.
Yeah.
The Silentish Book Club.
Yes.
Have you heard
Imminent?
Of this? Yes. So it's really fun. You just go to Imminent. They have a little section kind of cordoned off that's intended for people to just go. You sit and you read in a quietish environment. You can have quiet conversations, but not like big loud stuff. And so it's just a community of people that are getting together to do something that they really enjoy, reading, which tends to be more of a solo hobby, but you can make it a little more social by doing it around other people. And you can have quiet conversations. I bring the girls with, because they're both huge readers as well, our daughters. Reading with them is never quiet because it's always like, oh, mama, you have to look at this. Oh, mama, this thing happened. Oh, mama, look at this. So I get like a page read when they're doing it. But so it was super exciting. So you get to sit there with a beverage of your choice and be in community with other people and get to do a cozy hobby, reading, which I know I really, really love.
Right.
So that's super excited. The other thing I wanted to mention, the knitting store in town, and I cannot remember the name of it. It's right next to Content. They have knitting groups. So that
is it Northfield Yarn?
It is Northfield Yarn. Okay. Thank you.
What is a yarn store in Northfield?
Exactly. But they have knitting groups and they have knitting classes. So if knitting is something that you really want to learn how to do, that's an outlet for those of us here in Northfield. And I know there's a lot of groups like that all over the place. So just go out, pick a hobby that you think you want to get into. Find a group if that's something that you're down with and tell us how it goes.
Yeah, fantastic. So do that and then let us know, get back to us. We'd love to hear about what little fun side quest items that you have, what your adventures are as you continue to explore your geek hobbies. That does it for this time around. We thank you so much for joining us. Next month for Geeking Out, we're going to look forward to joining us where we'll be talking about two-player games.
It will be Valentine's month. It'll be February, two-player games for Valentine's.
Two-player games. And again, just huge apologies to Tom. This is twice now.
I know. That's not great. He's so flexible.
Apologies to Tom, but he always comes up with really great ideas. So I look forward to hearing and having Tom back and see what he has to give us and share with us for Valentine's Day. That's it from us. Again, it's been such a wonderful time with you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Cyrus.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mandy. Go out there, everybody, and geek out.